We turn now to one of the more vexing economic issues for many U.S. households, the rising costs of college. A new report from the College Board, the group that owns the SAT test, finds costs at four-year public schools posted the smallest increase in more than 30 years, up 2.9%. The bad news, federal aid for undergraduates declined by 9% over a two-year period. Ray Suarez takes it from there.
Jeff Salingo watches all of this closely. He's the author of College Unbound, The Future of Higher Education and What It Means for Students, and he's a contributing editor to the Chronicle of Higher Education. And Jeff, just to be abundantly clear, it didn't get cheaper to go to public college and university in the United States. It just got more expensive more slowly, right?
Exactly. I mean, this is the smallest increase we've seen in a couple of decades, but of course that's on a larger base. So the percentages seem small, but we're still talking about several hundred dollars on the average public college tuition in the United States.
Prices in the economy went up 1.7% last year. College went up 2.9%. What's been driving the much faster increases in the cost of buying a college education versus the cost of everything else we buy?
Well, colleges, first of all, are very personnel heavy, right? And so it requires a lot of people to teach at colleges. And unlike most other pieces of the economy where technology has reduced the number of people you need to produce a widget today compared to 1980, you still need one professor to teach 20 students just like you did in 1980. And the other thing is that college costs so much because it can cost so much. We tend to have a belief in this country the more something costs, just like a luxury car, the better it must be.
Aha. Because it can cost so much. Are we reaching a ceiling in college costs because of other pressures in the economy? Wages not rising that quickly, savings stagnant in many families, and so on.
Well, I think the wage piece is a big piece because we know that salaries and income in the United States has basically been flat or declining over the last couple of years. And back in 2001, it took the average family less than 25% of their paycheck to go to college. Today, it takes 40% of their paycheck to go to college. And at some point, families are going to say, what am I buying? What am I buying for what I'm spending on college education? It doesn't mean that they won't go. It just means that they're going to look for more valuable alternatives and cheaper alternatives.
Does that mean that parents and families and students as individuals have a little bit more bargaining power on their side of the table? Can they, by resisting these prices, steering themselves to cheaper places to be educated, temper some of these price increases?
They could. It depends on where they're going. At the top schools, probably not, because most of the top schools have 10 times as many applicants, qualified applicants, as they have spots. But at other schools, and we see this fall, where a number of kind of middle-tier schools did not have enough students to fill their seats. At those institutions, students have a lot more bargaining power than they did even a couple of years ago, because a student in a seat is better than no student in one of those seats.
The high school graduation rates are going up. This is a pretty big generational cohort. There are still a lot of kids looking for seats in colleges, aren't there?
There's still a lot, but it depends on where you live, right? And there's a lot of colleges in the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast where high school graduation rates are actually falling because of demographics. And there's not as many colleges in the West and the South where those rates are increasing.
After all these years of tuition increases that way outstrip the rate of inflation, are we opening up a national conversation to look at radically different ways of paying for school, reducing some of the pressure on parents who are also, at the same time, trying to save up for their own retirement?
Well, I think we definitely are. I mean, President Obama really put a lot of money in his first term into higher education, and nothing changed in terms of college prices. As you mentioned, they kept going up. And so back in August, he took that bus tour through New York and Pennsylvania. He basically said, federal aid can't keep chasing increasing college prices. We have to do something different. And I think where you're going to see this is on the cost side of things. We always talk about the price, but not the cost of delivering higher education. So I think we're going to look at new ways of delivering college courses through technology and other ways of delivering those courses. And I think on the other side, you're going to see income-based contingent loans where students can pay a piece of their income after college toward their loans. So I think on both sides, both the cost side and the price side, you're going to see changes in the future, because I think the federal government particularly is saying we can no longer keep up with the rising prices of colleges.
There's even some suggestions that it not be 4 years anymore, aren't there?
There are, and there's ways of doing this. You know, we base learning on how much time somebody spends in a seat. There's nothing magical about 4 years of college and 120 credits for a bachelor's degree. We have no idea if somebody spent 4 years in college, if they actually learned something while they were there. And so there's this move now towards competency-based education, which is basically, what do you know? And if you know it, you move on. And in some cases, you could finish college in less than 4 years.
At the same time as this country's news has been dominated by the troubles with the opening of the healthcare exchanges, a lot of college-age students looking to apply have found they're having problems with the Common App that was designed to make things easier. What's going on?
So this is the application where you could apply to multiple schools with one application. Some schools add a few things onto that, but it makes applying to college much easier. It's why many students now apply to 10 colleges. And when I went to college, it was like, you know, you didn't want to do more than two applications because it was a lot of work. Well, now what's happening is just like the healthcare exchanges, people are running into big technology problems because of changes the Common App made this year. And a number of schools have had to push back their deadlines for their early applications as a result.
Any sign that this will be solved by the time we reach the late part of this year, the early part of next year?
Yes. I mean, they're working on this. The schools are really frustrated. They're all our alternatives, of course, where students can still apply kind of the old-fashioned way. But this has been definitely a black eye on the part of the Common App. And if I'm a family applying for health care and applying for college at the same time, I think I probably would want to throw my computer out the window at this point.
Jeff Selingo, College Unbound, the future of higher education and what it means for students. Thanks a lot.
Great to be here.